95.7 The Rock at Lafayette's Classic Rock. And with us in the studio is a gentleman you may know from the Bob and Tom Show. It's Dr. Will Miller. Dr. Will, how are you today?
It's great to be with you, Rob.
I'm glad you're here. And you were at Woodstock.
Yes, I was. I was at Woodstock, attended all 3 days.
Now, where did you grow up?
New York City. I'm from New York City. At the time we were living, we had just moved out to Long Island.
Okay.
And so we're in Long Island. And I was working, I was working at a supermarket. I was in college and I was home for the summer. And I was working at a supermarket, just, you know, stocking shelves. And my friend Jerry and I had been aware that the Woodstock Festival was going on, but we had no plans on going.
Where did you guys first hear about it?
To tell you the truth, the thing that always, the memory I have is that Woodstock as an event was really created by radio in this sense that, you know, at the time it was AM radio, not FM radio. Everyone mm-hmm. was listening to, you know, WINS, WMCA, WABC radio, and the active disc jockeys playing rock music at the time would come on that Friday and they kept announcing, you know, Dan Ingram would say, just this announcement passed on by the New York State Police. They said, thousands of kids are congregating in Woodstock, but the concert is sold out. Do not go to Woodstock. Well, hello. 500,000 kids from Jersey, Connecticut, New York got in their cars, as did we, and drove to Woodstock. So it was a creature created late in the process, Thursday and Friday.
So
by radio.
So you guys heard the radio people saying, don't go, and that's what kind of spurred you on to, we got to check this out?
No question. Absolutely. I would not have gone. I might have been curious and interested if I met someone who did go or what it was. We knew all of the artists who were coming, which was, you know, the best of the best at the time. But I had no intention of going, and Jerry and I finished our shift at the supermarket, hopped in his Karmann Ghia, and drove up Route 17A. It was only about, I don't know, an hour or so north mm-hmm. of the city. And there we were. But we had no intention of going until the radio said, don't go.
So you got there probably pretty late in the process.
It got there Friday evening. And when we were driving, you know, Route 17A, which was the way in, is a very pretty narrow country road. It's just a two-lane road. And so it was crowded, you know, bumper to bumper. And all of a sudden, the cars just stopped. And we could see ahead of us, the people were just abandoning their cars and walking. We thought, well, here it is. This is our parking lot. So we, you know, locked up the car. And we started walking, and we saw a police officer on the way, and we said, how far is it? And he said it was about 8 to 10 miles, and so we had to walk 8 to 10 miles to get there. And so we got there. It was after, you know, darkness was just setting in, but I got to tell you, we went over the crest of the hill, and it was almost mm-hmm. like in a bowl. And I was just, my jaw dropped. I never saw a sight like that in my whole life. It looked like something out of the movies or something. It was just unbelievable. Just tens of thousands of people in sleeping bags on blankets camping out. And the music, the stage was so far away from where we were. That was not the first thing you noticed, and that may be odd for people. You didn't notice the music or the stage. That was just almost like a curtain in the background. It was so far away. It was the sight of the people.
Now, did you guys have any supplies with you, or did you just, you know, clothes on your back?
Clothes on our back. That's it. Clothes on our back. You know, I can't remember. I think I took like a duffel bag or whatever it was, and took like a couple of change of clothes or something and a toothbrush, but that's it.
So you're there, you see the sea of humanity, and what was the first thing you did when you got there?
Just, again, because the stunning visual image was not the music and the stage, although you could hear the music, it was the crowd, the sea of humanity, and it was just incredible. And we just walking around looking, and of course you see, at the time there were thousands of loads and loads of microbuses, those Volkswagen mm-hmm. buses painted with all flowers and stuff, and there were, it was hippie land, it was hippiedom. And so, and what was amazing to me, I think the first thing that struck me was, I mean, I was only 19, but how many adults were there? How many like hippie adults, you know, guys in their 30s and 40s and 50s with, you know, long hair and beards and everything, who were just, you know, hippied out, lying around on the ground, and seemed like a lot of people were not paying attention to the music,
mm-hmm.
you know.
People engaged in other activities?
Yes, many other activities.
Did you guys engage in some other activities that you care to say?
I have to tell you, I think it probably drops my street cred, but I vividly remember everything. And people have just said that joke is, if you remember Woodstock, you weren't there. Well, I'm here to say, no, there were some of us who remembered it all. I was just agape at what I was watching. It was just amazing. And then, of course, after a while, after that sunk in, then it was like, this is fantastic. It was like just being let loose at college. Like, it was like a city with no police, if you can think about that. It was like, then we kind of worked our way down toward the stage. And I can't remember the night to night who was there, but we saw everybody. The thing I remember most vividly was that music then, and I think it's reminiscent now, music was very healthy then, as I think it is now in this sense. I mean, for all the controversy about the music industry, per se, in terms of taste, you had everyone from like Richie Havens to The Who. In other words, the average person appreciated and listened to acoustic, folk, a hard rock at the time, and everything in between. I mean, there wasn't a country presence then. That didn't really come about. But there really was a very eclectic array of people. I mean, Janis Joplin and Richie Havens, on the same stage. It was incredible. Country Joe and the Fish. It was Sly and the Family Stone, which was almost like a big brass band at the time. That was fantastic. Some of those were really signatures. And I have to say, it was a thrill for me that I was one who hung around Monday morning, and I actually heard live Jimi Hendrix do the Star Spangled Banner. And I almost fell over. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. That was the most amazing thing I'd ever heard.
So you go through the entire weekend. What happened when the rains came?
Oh, man. It was just the worst possible scenario. It was just a mud hole. And there was no place for people to go in. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, I think everyone's had that experience where you're out in the rain and your instinct is to run, get cover. And then you realize, well, I can't. What can I do? And so you just sort of stand there and let it happen to you. And then you try and enjoy it. And so the mud was the worst part. The rain was not that bad. I mean, the rain was bad, but that was not what was so uncomfortable. It was the slogging through the mud that was just incredible. Yeah.